Hello, and welcome to today's live webinar, Product Safety, Not Just the Right Way to Do Business, The Way to Do Business, sponsored by Quality Certification Alliance and powered by Promo Marketing and Print and Promo. I'm Kyle Richardson, Editor-in-Chief of Promo Marketing, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to today's event. Before we get started, let me point out a few tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, you can troubleshoot them by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console, marked with a question mark, or you can let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the tools and features of the console. To learn more about those features, please click on the Tips for Attendees button below to learn what all of the tools on the console can do and how you can customize your experience today. If you're enjoying what you've heard here today, click on the PM button for a free subscription to Promo Marketing Magazine. Here today to discuss product safety are Jeremy Lott, President of Sanmar, John Levine, President of The Image Group, and Brandon Mackey, CEO and President of Snugs USA. Jeremy Lott is president and a member of the ownership family at Sanmar. With headquarters in Seattle and offices in Hong Kong and San Pedro Sula, Sanmar is a leading supplier of apparel to the promotional products and imprinted sportswear market, with more than 4 million square feet of distribution space nationally. Sanmar distributes 17 industry-leading brands, including Port Authority, Sport Tech, Nike Golf, and Gildan. Before joining Sanmar full-time, Lott spent 3 years with Piper Jaffray in their technology investment banking group. John Levine, president of The Image Group, has been in the promotional product industry for 24 years. The Image Group is a top 50 promotional products distributor and has offices in Toledo, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, and Ann Arbor, Michigan. Brandon Mackey, MAS, is the CEO and president of Snugs USA. A 20-year promotional products veteran, Mackey has always been an advocate for product safety and compliance. Celebrating its 25th year in business, Snugs has grown from 5 employees to more than 300 and is recognized as an industry leader in the manufacturing of lanyards, eyewear retainers, health and beauty products, and food gifts. Now let's get started with today's presentation. Up first is Jeremy from Sanmar. Take it away, Jeremy.
Thank you, Kyle, and good morning, good afternoon. I'm going to talk a little bit about Sanmar's kind of full corporate responsibility, talk a little bit about product safety, but some other issues as well. Just to give you a quick overview of Sanmar, we are a family-owned and operated company. We started in 1971. Today, we have about 3,500 employees kind of throughout the United States. And, you know, as Kyle mentioned in the intro, we're an award-winning supplier of apparel for the promotional products and printed sportswear markets. We're a company with international kind of scope, so we have design and development in-house here in Seattle, but we have presence at factories kind of worldwide. We have affiliate offices in Hong Kong and in Honduras, and we have staff in all the countries that we do business to oversee quality assurance and product quality and compliance. Finally, we are a company that's governed by a set of family values. We call them our Sanmar family values. Passionately serve the customer, be nice, invest in each other, do the right thing, deliver quality, and make a difference. And, you know, I mention those because they really help shape all the decisions that we make as a company and help us give us the direction on how we think about corporate social responsibility. For us, you know, we look at responsibility in three areas. There's a lot of overlap between the three, but the first are regulatory requirements. You know, what are the legal requirements both in the United States and in the countries we produce product? We think a lot about brand protection. One of the things that we're acutely aware of is that as soon as our customer puts one of their customer's logo on a shirt, it ceases to be a Port Authority or Sport Tech shirt, and it becomes their shirt. And so we're very aware of doing everything we can to protect their brand. And then finally, and straight from our family values, is is make a difference. How do we have a positive impact in people's lives, both in the United States and globally, where we manufacture product? When we think about regulatory requirements, for us, there's a few pieces to it. So first is kind of things like product safety, and some of them are the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act. It's state requirements like California Proposition 65, and we have a in-house, you know, legal and compliance team that does a great job of keeping us up to date on what are the current changes, what are the current requirements, and making sure that Sanmar is compliant with all federal and state laws and that our product is compliant. We are a fully accredited member of the Fair Labor Association. We joined the FLA several years ago as a vehicle for us to think about how we did factory monitoring to make sure that we were complying with not just call it U.S. laws, but the laws of the countries that we were manufacturing in to make sure our product was manufactured in a compliant way. We are CTPAT Tier 2 certified. So, again, that's a customs trade regulation that says we're making sure that our products are made, again, with safety in mind as they're imported to the United States. And so we have a pretty robust compliance program, again, with our own auditors and with independent auditors that we use to make sure that our factories are compliant and that our product is compliant. You know, the second piece that I talked about a little bit before was brand protection. So we are an accredited member of QCA, the Quality Certification Alliance, and you know QCA is a great framework for us to think about brand protection because it is helps us to say how do we have processes internally to make sure that our product, again, is safe and that when somebody's putting their logo on the product, they can be sure and they can feel good about they're doing the right thing for their customer and for that brand. We communicate a lot with our factories, so we have a restricted substances list. It's something that's similar to the one developed by the American Apparel and Footwear Association. Again, this is making sure that products that would potentially, you know, be harmful are not used in making our products. And, you know, when we think about brand protection, this isn't just the legal requirements, making sure that you're meeting Prop 65 or CPSA, but this is going kind of above and beyond what are just the regulatory requirements to imagine, gosh, all of a sudden our shirt is now a Starbucks shirt, it's a Microsoft shirt, it's a General Motors shirt, and what that means to those companies. We have to be really thoughtful of that. We have a set of global operating principles that all of our factories have to adhere to, and we do a lot of compliance around that. So, again, our people are auditing factories. We're using third parties to audit the factories. One of the reasons that we have offices in Hong Kong and in Honduras is that we want our own people very close to the manufacturing. We can't just trust that we have other people who are there. We need to have our own people in the factories all the time. And again, we have a pretty strong internal compliance and kind of a QC team. The final thing maybe that I want to talk about a little bit further is this concept of making a difference. And so again, you know, we make sure that our product is compliant. We make sure as a company that we're compliant. We make sure that our product is safe and that you're going to feel comfortable to put your customer's brand and their logo on it. But we think that we have a responsibility kind of to do more. And so when we look at that and we look at how our product is manufactured, we think it has three really distinct opportunities that it provides for people. The first is really economic development. The second, alleviation of poverty. And the third is kind of empowerment of women. And I'll talk through those a little bit and just give you a couple of examples. Apparel manufacturing has been for decades a really important vehicle for economies that are developing. And the reason is when you start sewing apparel, you really need you don't need a lot of significant kind of capital investment. You need a lot of people, and you can give them training. So if you think about Japan or Korea or Taiwan 30 or 40 years ago, they began kind of the process of development making apparel. And once those skills are there, then you have capital that's come into those countries, and you start manufacturing more complex things like cars and iPhones, et cetera. So it has been a fantastic vehicle for economies to develop over time, and we think that's an important difference that we make. The advantage, obviously, of economic development and opportunities is alleviation of poverty, and we have seen, especially as a lot of Asian economies have developed, millions and millions of people kind of lifted out of poverty. There are some studies that were done by the World Bank in Bangladesh that talk to the amount of, there's about 2 million kind of garment workers in the country, and the amount of people that they support with those wages and the amount that are kind of given back into the country. So in a lot of people where there's not other economic opportunities, when apparel productions kind of come in, it gives opportunities, again, for alleviation of poverty when the other options are things like subsistence farming or, you know, kind of being a domestic laborer. I think the one that maybe has been the most exciting to me is what we've seen in terms of empowerment of women, because in a lot of these countries there are not lots of opportunities for women to participate in what I'll call kind of the formal job sector. And again, there's kind of been some studies about what it's meant when there are job opportunities for women's health issues in terms of things like delaying childbirth and marriage, HIV rates in certain countries. We do a lot of production in Africa today. We're in Tanzania in a really significant way, and it's been really amazing to see the transformation, not just of some of the people, but of this kind of entire area. We basically started with zero workers there 4 years ago, and we have almost 5,000 people today kind of sewing pretty exclusively for Sanmar. Again, not our factory, but a partner that we have. And it's made dramatic changes to the region as women have an opportunity kind of for economic development that didn't exist, and again, with a lot of kind of women's health issues. The maybe final thing that's not on the slide that I'll mention is kind of how we think about kind of the environment. You know, there was a push and a continued push for kind of green product in our industry. I've always had this philosophy that I think, you know, the greenest shirt that you can make is the one that you wear for 10 years because it was made so well that you didn't have to throw it away. And so, you know, quality is a real big piece of, I think, creating kind of good products. But we do work a lot with our factories to minimize their kind of environmental footprint. There's really two areas in textile production that can be dirty, how you deal with water and what you do with power. And we've invested with a lot of our partners on how they can move towards green power, how they can use biomass and other things to, you know, build kind of their textile facilities. It's a more cost-effective way for them to do business, and it's a much greener way than burning fossil fuel. The other thing is, again, how we work with them to deal with kind of the wastewater that's a byproduct of textiles. And so we work a lot to make sure that they are treating the water in the right ways and that they're not creating kind of environmental impact because of it. So that for us is making a difference, and you know, we think that the work that we've done, and I think by extension the work, the sales that our customers have done, we have made a difference for a lot of people across the world. So with that, John, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy. As the introduction said, the Image Group's a distributor. We have three primary offices in Toledo, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, and Ann Arbor. And there are 72 employees within our company. The thing that I'd like to stress about that is each and every one of them understands our company's focus on safety and social compliance. So at the Image Group, we believe our people and our company, in fact, we believe all of your companies, can make a positive difference in the world, and we have a responsibility to do what is right all of the time, which ties a little bit into the title of what this webinar has been. So for us, it's simple. Safety and social compliance are a no-compromise position for the Image Group. We care about our people. We care about the planet. We're not going to take shortcuts on compliance, and we're not going to put our values aside for short-term profits. We're all subjected to the same rules. Jeremy spoke a bit about the regulations. You know, you can see the slide there, and this comes from part of our compliance statement. But, you know, when you take a look, and most of us have either been to or are familiar with Prop 65, I mean, there's laws that we have to follow. And we have to educate our clients in the Midwest, where I'm operating, about the regulations that other states have and how those do impact upon their companies. You know, try explaining to a company in Ann Arbor, Michigan, how they can be financially liable for items that they never intended to leave their local market. That's a big challenge for us. But our companies and our clients, they have financial risk when they're purchasing product that does not comply with federal or state laws. So our direction is, why take a chance? We want to source our goods from those that meet the most stringent laws in the country, regardless of whether it's intended to move into any of those states or not. And understanding today's laws takes a great deal of education, not only for our employees, but as relates to educating our clients as well. So at the Image Group, we ask that our employees participate in learning opportunities that are provided by many of our supplier partners, but by QCA and PPAI as well. And we ask them to carry these messages proactively to our clients. It's oftentimes begun as a difficult conversation. There's that tightrope we walk where we want to inform them but not scare them. Well, we don't want their risk management teams at our major clients to determine that this isn't a good investment for them if it, in fact, carries risks associated with it. So, you know, just a few short years ago, the way we looked at things were we were there to help our clients build their brands. Today, we think it's as critical, and we're probably communicating more about our need to help them protect their brands. So far, most of what I've been talking about is the safety compliance side. And just as Jeremy, obviously not as robust, social compliance is another important aspect of sourcing for our company, for the Image Group. So interestingly enough, and some of you may have experienced this, we try and speak to supplier companies about social compliance. And oftentimes we're unable to find individuals within customer service departments that even understand what it is that we're talking about. We've had suppliers even ask us why it matters. But, you know, based on the values of the Image Group, it does matter. So we're not looking for the lowest cost, and I'm sure Jeremy and Brandon like to hear that. You know, we're looking for a fair price from suppliers that have a focus on safety and social compliance. And compliance costs money. It's not a level playing field if we're trying to compare a safety and socially compliant supplier to one that does not have that initiative and one that ignores our values. So, again, it's a big initiative for us, and it relates around the compliance issue, not around the cost issue. Some of you may be able to read this, but we do have a preferred vendor policy, and our policy is strict. It causes a lot of pain within our company and our sales group, and frankly, many times it takes a lot of extra work. So it requires us to talk to our clients about safety, and it requires us to talk to them about social compliance. And we go as far as to not pay commission to salespeople who ignore our policy. And they can't ignore it more than once before it's an issue with their employment. And our salespeople are all employees. So as you can imagine, this was not very popular with everyone when we began implementation. But I have a slide up here on QCA. There is a path of least resistance. So we recognize QCA as the industry standard for product safety and social compliance. So any QCA certified supplier automatically qualifies as a preferred partner of the Image Group. So the salesperson has no extra steps required if they use a QCA certified supplier. We do have other certified suppliers that we've previously vetted out. We reward these QCA accredited suppliers. We recognize their costs and their commitments to this, and we want to reward them with their purchase orders. You can see the Image Group internally, we've pledged 90% of our purchasing to be done with QCA accredited suppliers over the next 3 years, And that's why my company, as well as a number of others, are asking all distributors to put pressure on the suppliers within our industry to become compliant, to consider becoming QCA. Now, there are times when clients request an item from a non-preferred supplier partner. The sales associate is required to provide test reports in that instance, copy of the company's safety compliance policy, and a copy of their social compliance policy. So, and then on top of that, any order, purchase order to a non-preferred vendor requires management approval. So you can see there's a lot of extra work involved in this. And if a vendor cannot deliver their proof of compliance, will not sell their product. I could tell you the question regularly comes up on whether or not that has cost us business. And honestly, we can't point to a single instance where we've lost business from a customer because of our compliance policies. Payback. We think our values are very important to us. We believe it's a great investment. Just as I indicated a little earlier, we want to encourage all distributors to get behind safety and social compliance. So that's my presentation. I'd like to now turn it over to Brandon.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate everybody coming on this webinar today, and as we discussed this topic, I think it's very vital. And here we go. Snugs USA, as you know, can I get an advance? Snugs USA adheres to industry-leading standards in manufacturing and in personal care. So many of you know that we specialize in what they outlined in the bio at the first, lanyards, eyeglass retainers, accessories, and a full line of personal care products. I think first and foremost, what's most important for us here at Snugs is kind of the core of who we are, and our mission statement is fairly simple. Snugs USA generates value for our distributor partners by providing unwavering service and quality promotional products delivered on time, thereby creating opportunities for members of the Snugs team to learn, to grow, and to better their lives. And that's pretty much the focus that we do and come into work and try to provide every day. Trust and credibility. So Snugs USA, many of you may not or may be aware, but we're a USA vertical manufacturer. We currently employ 320 employees here, and we do all of the product development to manufacturing, assembly, cut, sew, print on the lanyard side, and then we do all of the formulation, compounding, fill, print the labels, apply the labels, QC, and ship all the personal care out of our facility here in Salt Lake City. So trust and credibility, I think, is very important for us. We're members of the ICPHSO. We're also an accredited member of QCA, which we're very proud of. And then we take our associations and our membership in PPAI, ASI SAGE, and obviously our affiliation with Promo Marketing very seriously. We appreciate their aggressiveness in trying to bring product safety to the forefront. We have developed processes to detect and deter any non-compliant products from entering the marketplace. We harmonize the increasing array of compliance tools. So another thing that's a little unique to Snugs and to a handful of suppliers out there is we have a full-time in-house legal and counsel for us that can help us sift through all of the current issues that we face as an industry, but as we face as a company. We identify and measure rigorous standards, and we complete yearly independent third-party government audits to comply with stringent standards. Why are we doing this? First, we're doing it obviously for our consumers, but we're doing it for the safety of our employees too. So it is essential to create a safe environment for our employees and our customers, and that is our number one goal. For our employees, we have an internal safety committee. We have a stringent machine and maintenance and safety protocols, SOP, and training and proper application of personal protective equipment, which I think is vital since we do so much in-house manufacturing. And for our customers, we're able to provide you with a USA-made product by Snugs USA in an FDA-audited and approved facility. Inspection of all incoming raws and materials and components. Inspection of every item from the beginning to the end of the manufacturing lines via department quality controls. And we have very strict compliance with the FDA, the CPSC, the USDA, and GMP in regards to standards and regulations. And environmental impact. So since we are a USA-based manufacturer, we take this extremely serious because we're living where we're producing products. So we adhere to strict standards. And Snugs demonstrates the care for the environment. A case in point there would be we do a catch reclaim for our lab facility. So we catch all solid materials that we use in the production of our personal care items, so that we don't wash those down into the rivers and streams. So we have a catch basin system that helps us siphon out those materials. And Snugs transitioned our personal care line from artificial flavors to natural and organic flavors. And we have increased use of biodegradable and recyclable materials. And waste is minimized. And every product is tested to ensure our products don't contain chemicals harmful to people, pets, or the environment. Professional responsibility. Snugs demonstrates its commitment to professional responsibility by maintaining in-house regulatory and compliance teams. These teams are solely focused on our production efforts to safe, compliant, and quality products. Snugs values not only our own good name, but the name of every person, company, or corporation that goes on our product, and we're dedicated to regulatory compliance. Experts demonstrate that we value our professional responsibility to our customers, partners, stakeholders, and the community. Improvement of product standards within the industry. Snugs improves and exceeds quality standards by empowering teams and individuals to evaluate products and processes to further develop in each process and product. In-house product safety experts save time for our customers by ensuring that our facility and products are safe and fully compliant, and improving the industry as a whole to drive others to create safety and compliance standards. We're almost there. And why are we doing this? Less risk for potential recalls. We reduce recall issues by developing and implementing policies and procedures, processes to ensure that product throughout the supply chain never fails in its purpose. Quality inspection standards, testing, and standardizing SOPs maintain, review daily, help reduce the possibility of a recall. And our products have low risk for potential recall issues, thus reducing the cost and wasted time. And last, most important, is the law. Federal and state governments have strict compliance and product safety laws, daily in-house inspections. Relative to state and federal law, give customers confidence that our products are compliant, and every company has the responsibility to manufacture and sell safe and compliant products. Snugs is the forefront of commitment and dedication to that responsibility. So I will pass it off to who's next.
Great. Thank you very much, Brandon. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, and so I thought it'd be a good time to turn this over to our audience. And the first question we received is, how should a promotional products distributor properly position QCA advantages to small and mid-sized company buyers? Why should they care about where they get their products from? John, since you are our distributor on the panel, I was hoping you could answer that one.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. You know, it is an interesting conversation to have with small and mid-sized companies, because oftentimes, if not most of the time, this is the first time anyone's even mentioned safety and social compliance to them as it relates to promotional products. Most of them have never heard about it. But what we found is most of them are interested in why it is that we're bringing it up and why it should be important to them. And so I do believe oftentimes for ourselves, and I'd encourage other distributors as well, it has been an ability to open a door and to have a conversation at a level that we weren't able to have when it was just about promotional products and price. So when we're discussing this, it's natural for a buyer to think, why haven't I not heard about this before? Why has my previous vendor not spoken to me about this? It's also a risk if we're not talking about it because another company may come in from a compliance angle and be able to talk to them about something that one of our sales associates hasn't been. So I think that I think regardless of the size of the buyer, it's an easy thing to start talking about. It's an easy thing to admit that none of us know as much as we need to know about these areas, but that they're important to them. It's important to protecting their brand. You know, and what we want to talk to them about is, you know, from a safety and social compliance, you know, we all, if we have families and children, we care about our children. Shouldn't we care about all children? We care about our communities. Shouldn't we care about all communities? You know, we care about the environment where we live, and shouldn't we care about the environments everywhere? And there's very few people on the planet that have not seen pictures from China relative to the haze that traditionally lingers forever. Or that haven't seen poverty in other countries. So I believe it resonates and it allows them to feel good that you're actually looking out for them. And it makes it easy if you can talk about what QCA stands for in the accreditation policy and why it is that you want to focus on suppliers who have gone through the time to commit and the dollars to invest in QCA accreditation, that we're actually making it easy for them to stay on the right side of things and for them to get product that they know is compliant.
Great. Thank you, John. Our next question is for Jeremy and is, what kind of quality assurance can we expect from suppliers who import products from offshore? How do you keep an eye on supply chains overseas?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that the first thing you do is that you really have to have, you know, to use my a military reference, boots on the ground. And that's a really a key thing for us, is that we have SAMR employees who are in the factories where we're making our product. And they're doing inline inspections. They're looking at the product that's coming in. They're working with the factory partners that we have. We also partner with, you know, testing agencies. So we are testing kind of product and rigorously testing product to make sure that it's meeting kind of our specifications. And even, I'll back up a sec, it's the proactive part at the beginning of what are those products that you're developing? Who are the partners that you have? Because, again, SAMR doesn't own manufacturing. We partner with people we do, so that's a really important decision. There are cheaper manufacturers that we could work with. We choose to work with, we think, world-class manufacturers, and then we monitor them and we rigorously test to make sure the product is compliant. And, you know, that's what's great about, you know, our affiliation with QCA is they give us a great framework for, you know, how we do that. So we have a really robust process in place, you know, to make sure those things are happening at kind of all steps from the time a product's initially developed until it's hitting kind of our warehouse. But it's not easy. And I think, you know, John talked about it costs money to do that. Again, there are cheaper places, cheaper factories that I could make a shirt in. That's not the right choice for SAMR to make, and you know, I don't believe it's the right choice for most distributors to make. But that's really it. So it's having, you know, really great process, great people, great partners, and then rigorously inspecting and testing to make sure that they are living up to those expectations. But again, part of it for us is just, you know, if you know, for us, having our own people there helps me sleep a lot better at night too. So that's kind of what our process looks like.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy. The next question is kind of the flip side of that, and it's for Brandon. Since you're a vertical manufacturer and you're making everything in-house, how does your process differ from something like what Jeremy just described?
I think the process is real similar. The greatest luxury that we have versus what Jeremy has is I have the ability to walk 20 paces and be in line in manufacturing. So I can meet and work with and converse in person, yeah, as he said, with the boots on the ground on a day-in and day-out basis. So everything was right under my nose. And it's a great luxury to have, and we're very fortunate that we are able to pull off this type of business, because it's very difficult to be able to do this in the United States right now.
All right. Thank you, Brandon. The next question we have is actually also for you, is how do the personal care and food product regulations differ from what would exist for, you know, other hard goods?
Well, the biggest issue that we face versus hard goods is that we are federally watched by the FDA. So we have an entire book of regulations that we have to adhere to, from product formulation, compounding, and the way that we fill the containers, cleanse the containers, just the way that we operate our lab facility. Plus, we all also have other federal agencies that we're being reviewed by constantly. One is the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearm Agency. Since we are a manufacturer, we have so much concentrate of ethyl alcohol on site that we are federally watched, and we have a license with the ATF due to the quantity of material that we have on hand. And so it's just it's a very interesting process going through, not differing ourselves from other suppliers out there who just decorate hard goods or import hard goods. We are actually the actual manufacturers in-house, where we have 3 full-time on-hand chemists that actually compound and break down products for us.
The next question I have is for John. You had mentioned in your presentation that every employee in your staff understands the focus on both social and compliance and product safety. How do you educate your staff on these topics?
Sure. Well, we started out with our sales force when we first began to learn about safety and social compliance and understand it. That was the easy part. Now, at the Image Group, one thing that makes us different than some distributors is we began as a product decorator, so we have screen printing, embroidery, engraving, fulfillment services on site. Explaining it to our production staff was a little bit more challenging. It was easy to explain to them the needs to adhere to the proper regulations regarding the chemicals that they use, but to talk to them about why this is important, even when it's not part of their responsibilities from a day-to-day, was another thing. So fortunately, we've always had quarterly meetings of all employees where we bring people in from our outside offices to the Toledo headquarters, and a component of each quarterly meeting discusses safety and social compliance as well as the other values of the company.
All right, thank you. We've had a few questions asking about individual state laws, and rather, I don't know if we can get into all of them at once, but in general, how would you describe to a client the importance of knowing a state law such as California's Proposition 65 when they don't live in that state?
You know, Kyle, this is John. I'll tell you that it's a big challenge, but what we need to talk to them about is not necessarily their complete understanding of things like Prop 65, but their understanding that they need to have a partner, a distributor partner that does understand it and that makes certain that the products that are being used for their promotions do meet those standards. You know, the easiest way we say it to someone is, you know, you might have handed something out at your company for an internal audience, and someone's grandmother is visiting and likes the travel mug, and the grandson says, well, go ahead, Grandma, take it. And, you know, if that ends up back in California and it's not Prop 65 compliant and a bounty hunter finds it, you know, everybody has a fairly considerable financial responsibility there. And so, you know, basically the way the Image Group developed our policy is we want to buy items that are Prop 65 compliant regardless of where they're going to be distributed. But we want to communicate to clients that it's a tough minefield to walk through in compliance, and that's something that they should be relying on their distributor partner for that type of education, but that adherence to the different regulations that exist.
That's a great answer. Our next question is for either Brandon or Jeremy, for Elliott Suppliers. What did your company have to do to become QCA certified?
I'll go ahead and take it, and then Brandon, you can certainly add more if you'd like. For Sanmar, it was, again, the framework for QCA is that because it spans so many product verticals, from What I mean by this, pens and mugs and shirts and everything else that's sold into this industry, it's not an organization that says you have to have test, you know, your cotton shirt to this and your polyester shirt to that. It's an organization that says you need to have the processes in place to understand how you should test your polyester shirt or your cotton shirt and then make sure that you're actually testing it, and that that is the appropriate test and that it's kind of, you know, you have the, that it's achieving kind of the right result. So for us, the process of becoming accredited was really a process of formalizing a lot of the processes that we had, some of them that we were doing, some that we needed to do better, institutionalizing those processes to make sure everybody understood them and that they became, you know, an absolute part of how we did business, and then, you know, communicating that. So for us, it was, again, about making sure that we had the right processes, the rigorous processes, and then QCA came in with an independent group to make sure that we were actually doing it and audited us and will continue to audit us in the future to make sure that those processes are robust and that we are continuing to follow them.
Yeah, I would like to just concur with what Jeremy had to say. The process was intense, and as an analogy would go, it was like training for a triathlon, and we got to find out who we were as a company and where we were strong and where we were weak. And we trained very, very hard, and we had to deploy a lot of resources to be able to get to the finish line. And it was a hard, hard road to go, but we are so grateful that we were able to accomplish our goal and be able to become accredited. It was very, very much a great thing for our organization.
Okay, thank you guys. My next question is for John, and one of our audience members asked, how does a smaller distributor get its arms around the issues of product safety? Where do they start to learn about this?
Well, fortunately, there's a number of different resources available. So for one, I don't believe you can attend a major industry event any longer where there's not a component of education that is discussed from a safety and social compliance standpoint. Also, any distributor that's a member of PPAI can attend the PPAI Safety Summit. Now, I'm not sure. Typically, it sells out, so it might not be something that's available this year. Yes, it takes a dollar investment to travel and to attend, but I learned so much from my first Safety Summit, and now certainly we send an individual in our organization who's in charge of compliance will be attending from now on that event. The other thing is if you go to either QCA's website or to PPAI's website, there's just extensive resources available. But beyond that, what we have found that you can pick up the phone and you can call the individuals that are part of those organizations, and if they're not available, they'll return the call, and it's part of their role and their interest, regardless of how small you are as a distributor, to help you through these issues that you face. It's important for the whole industry. So the resources at PPAI and QCA, together with the education events that happen at all of the major trade shows, are a fantastic way to get the information that you need.
Okay, thank you, John. My next question is for Jeremy. Again, it's what does a distributor need to know about apparel product compliance versus hard good compliance?
You know, I think there's the first thing I would say about that is that when we first started thinking about compliance in a real way, it was maybe 10 years ago, and it came out of really kind of working conditions at kind of factories. And even if you go back to the 90s and there were protests in college campuses around, you know, child labor and things like that that were, you know, that Nike or other kind of big companies were involved in. And so, you know, I think that we have had a focus on compliance for a long time. And you know, we're pretty early about kind of being involved in the Fair Labor Association and making sure that from a that type of social compliance that our product was produced in a compliant way. Again, I think apparel was earlier than hard goods and some of that. I think a lot of these product safety issues have come, you know, kind of in more recent times. And so we had a compliance framework built on kind of what we were doing around, you know, auditing for social compliance to say now we have to kind of make sure that this product is safe. We look at things like, you know, what is a little bit different about apparel than maybe hard goods too is the idea that we, Sanmar doesn't decorate. So we have our customer or a third party who is changing, altering, adding on to the product that we are selling. And that is, you know, carry some risk because they're putting ink on the product, they're putting thread on the product, they're putting, you know, lots of other things that change the product. And so it's not just understanding kind of the supplier, but that full, that last part of the supply chain, which is, you know, who is actually kind of decorating the product. And I think that's the piece that is complicated, and I think that's the piece that distributors really need to understand and make sure, just the same way they're working with good suppliers for their product, that they're working with great decorators if they're not decorating themselves, who are buying, you know, understand the inks that they're buying and that they're doing kind of their due diligence around the product. So I think that's maybe the things that I would think about that are, you know, different from hard goods, and I think that's the additional complication that you have with apparel.
Thanks, Jeremy. And there was a sort of a follow-up to that question, and Brandon, feel free to chime in as well. Do you offer those QCA certifications or compliance statements on your website?
Yeah, so if you go to Sanmar.com, we have a social responsibility page. You can download our CSR. We have a product safety page where you can see all of our certificates of conformity kind of around the product. It talks about our accreditations. Obviously, there's links to the QCA site, to the FLA site, to some of our other members. So, you know, I encourage people to, you know, go to Sanmar.com either under the About Us or under Resources. You can kind of link either way to our social responsibility and product safety pages.
All right, and my next question is for John. You mentioned earlier in your presentation something about social compliance statements, and one of our viewers wanted to know what that meant exactly.
From a social compliance statement, one of the things that Jeremy just got done speaking about is having their corporate responsibility statements online, and the Image Group, if you were to go to our website, shows our corporate social responsibility report as well. You know, we're interested in making certain that not only are we good to our own community, but that we are spreading that goodwill to countries where the goods are being manufactured. It really speaks a lot to what Jeremy said during his slide presentation. We're interested to ensure that the goods that we're procuring for our clients are all being made by labor that's being fairly paid, that is not slave labor and that is not child labor, and that they're being and it's being manufactured under conditions that are safe to the employees. And so if you were to read through our statement online, it will discuss some of that. That's part of what's important. And just as Jeremy indicated, we originally got interested in the compliance during the time period when there was great concern over Burmese production. So, you know, I happened to be walking through our facility and I saw a number of outerwear boxes that were made in Burma. So we tried to start doing some research to determine whether or not we understood if those goods were produced by fairly paid labor, and couldn't determine anything at the time. So we just made a quick and easy decision, and we said until we can determine this, we're not going to any longer procure goods out of Burma. I think what's beautiful today is we understand that we have opportunities, especially companies like Sanmar in the soft goods area, to begin impacting social change in those countries and to work with companies that can improve the level of poverty and employment for women. So we're happy to jump on board with companies like that.
Great. Thanks, John. And I think we've got time for one more question. This one's for Jeremy. Does SanMar do anything specific to support women in overseas nations who work within the factories that you all partner with?
Yeah, so, you know, different factory partners have different kind of programs, but they'll do things, not only are they giving them kind of sewing skills in a lot of countries, because, again, you have a lot of people who, speak specifically about kind of some of the work we're doing in Tanzania, where they don't have a lot of sewing skills, but they're also kind of providing them life skills. Again, these are women who, haven't had to kind of manage a household and understood, you know, how to manage money or how to live kind of independently, and there's not a real kind of history of that. So they're training them not just on sewing skills but kind of life skills. They're providing health care at the factories. They're providing, child care and other of those type of issues. So, you know, it's one of those things, and, you know, John just talked about it, that I think that While we're all really acutely aware of some of the, really tragedies that have happened, whether it was in Bangladesh with the factory that collapsed or some of these other things, I think what doesn't make the news, but I've seen firsthand, is how it can actually truly garment manufacturing, I think, done the right way, impact in a very positive way. And it's an industry that tends to be heavily dominated by women, but you know, millions of women kind of around the world by providing these opportunities. So, again, it's making sure that we're picking the right partners, partners who care about some of those same values that we care about, and that they are doing the right thing, for the workers. And, you know, at the end of the day, I said earlier, you know, again, there's a cheaper factory, but we find the factories that care about their workers and that support the environment and, you know, also deliver better quality product, and we have less defects and less returns and less kind of problems with it. And so at the end of the day, I could buy it for 10 cents less somewhere else. I don't know that I don't save money, though, by buying it from those kind of better manufacturers. And we think that, you know, by spending our dollars those ways, you know, we can impact those manufacturers and we can encourage other people to act in similar ways. And so that's really a huge focus of how we make a lot of our purchasing decisions.
Perfect. Thank you, Jeremy. I think that just about wraps it up for us today. We've covered a lot of topics. So I want to thank Jeremy, John, and Brandon for their presentations. And on behalf of the QCA, Promo Marketing, and Print and Promo, I want to thank you for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out Promo Marketing's webinar page to get more information on all of our archived webinars and upcoming webinars. Please also take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on the screen next. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future, and we appreciate your input. Thanks again, and I hope to see you at the next Promo Marketing webinar.